Flip, 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 flip.
Flip Weekly!
What's going on? Matt here, flipweekly.com. Thanks for joining in once again. This is the third episode of the Flip Weekly podcast. I hope that you're enjoying it. Thank you for listening. I'm coming at you the day before Valentine's Day. I hope that if you don't have somebody, at least we have each other. I've been in your life now, if you've been reading the newsletter, for over a year. I just realized about 30 minutes ago that I've been doing this now for 53 weeks. This is the 53rd week of writing Flip Weekly and now doing the podcast. And that to me is crazy consistency. I don't think any other aspect of my life is as consistent as Flip Weekly. So if you've been with Flip Weekly since the beginning, since the 1 year mark, I mean, this is our 1 year anniversary. Valentine's Day is tomorrow when this comes out. Thank you. I mean, what can I say? You know a lot about me. I don't know anything about you. And I like that. No, that's rude. I shouldn't say that. But yeah, I've got a massive issue this week. I mean, it sounded like I was about to say I have massive issues, but yeah, we've got a lot. I went out thrifting this week, and I mean, of course, and found some cool stuff. You know, like, usually leave a thrift store with one or two items, if that. Honestly, if there was an average, if I kept track of every single visit to a thrift store I've ever done, the average has to be like 0.4. I'm not leaving a thrift store with multiple items, except for, I mean, this week, not everything was meeting the $100 minimum that I aim for. There were a couple of things that I picked up just because I thought they were cool or because I thought they might sell quick. And the very first thing I'm going to talk to about, two things that I found that I just thought were cool. So I went to a Lifeline thrift store. I've been having a lot of luck lately with Lifeline. I'm not too sure why. Usually they're, I think I've said a million times, they're the ones that try the hardest to be like an antique store. For some reason, I've just been having a lot of luck. There was a display shelf full of all six items that I picked up. The first two things I thought were really cool. I sort of recognized them at first as Disney characters. They looked sort of Disney to me. The way to describe them would be as rubber figures. They look sort of like, they're sort of the size of garden gnomes, right? And they're the gargoyles from the Disney movie Hunchback of Notre Dame. They're sort of, they're filled with air. They're hollow. I think, you know, they could go on a shelf, be displayed. They're not gargoyles that you would see on somebody's house. You know, when you're driving through neighborhoods where they have sort of nice houses, they're like on the verge of being nice, but they're just not quite there. And then you see this place that has like two gargoyles on the fence and you're just like, yeah, they don't look that great. They don't look like that, okay? They're very animated in their face. They look like kids sort of character things. I saw them, they were $6 each, and you know, I have Disney fans in the family, so I thought, I'm gonna get these. I don't really care if they're worth any money. They're just cool. I could see on the bottom of them that they were from 1996. So that's always an interest to me because I like that sort of 90s stuff. I grew up in the 90s. I was born in 92. Anything from the 90s is really like up my alley. So these two things were $6 each. I checked comps on eBay a bit later. I wasn't too interested, like I said, about comps, but if these things were brand new, we have sold comps for $140. I haven't actually put them on eBay yet. I've just put them on Marketplace. I put them on for $30. It's not that much money, but I figure if they don't sell, they'll be a gift. I'm not too worried if they do or not. I've just looked up the gargoyles' names. It is Victor and Laverne. So they're very gargoyle-y names. That might help you visualize what these are. Yeah, Victor and Laverne. Anything from the 90s, I think, is worth picking up. Resell on Marketplace, I think they would do best on Marketplace. eBay, if you're wanting that premium. But yeah, these Disney little character rubber things, I just thought they were really cool, and I'm sure somebody will pick them up for display I mean, you can't really do much else with them. They just sit on a shelf and collect dust, but they look cool, and you can keep the gargoyles inside the house where they belong so people can't see them and laugh at you. I apologize if you have gargoyles on your fence. Now, on this exact same display shelf in Lifeline, there were the video game section, and I'm always checking out the video game section, not because I think I'll ever find anything. I want to see if they miss something. You know, there's always your FIFAs, there's always your Wii Fits, just like bottom of the barrel stuff, you know, games that nobody wants to play. They're put out there. I mean, I'd love to actually see the data on if people are buying these games, or they're just there to be on the shelf to say that, like, we have some games, you know, instead of having nothing. But that's funny, at this the thrift store, they had Super Mario Brothers for the Wii or the Wii U. Anytime I see these cases, I always open them up, and I swear to God, there's never a disc inside, but the cases are always put out. And I mean, in some cases, the cases can be worth picking up, but it's just so funny that whenever a good game comes out, it's always just completely empty. You know, I just can't imagine what goes on back there. But yeah, I always check the video game section, because the games that I'm looking for are ones that are sealed. They are usually priced the exact same as a game that's open. But if you find a decent game that's sealed and it's from one of the older consoles, you know, you turn a $10 game into like $50, if not more. I was looking, and I was lucky enough that I could find two games that were sealed. Usually what I do, because the plastic is so hard to see, like there's like 10 games on a shelf. It's a post-COVID world. I just run my hands over all of them, and I can see if there's any plastic on them. And if there is, pull them out, take a look. And when I did that, I could see that the games were from the Xbox 360, which came out however many years ago. The games had this giant banner across the front of the game saying promotional copy, not for resale. So we're breaking some laws here. Yeah, that adds another layer onto the video game. So the two video games that I found were Assassin's Creed Revelations and Dishonored. I don't think I've played either of these games. I've played some of the Assassin's Creed games. I've never played Dishonored. I haven't played it on the Xbox 360 to comment on if it's a good game or not. These aren't the worst games to find sealed. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Let's layer this out, okay? If you found, for example, I'm going to use the example from the newsletter. So you can see the images in the newsletter, okay? Let's layer out video games when they're open, when they're sealed, when they're promo only, okay? Because people like to collect different things. So in the newsletter, I've shown that there's a game called Silent Hill Downpour. The name doesn't really matter. It's just to show you the different prices for the different variations of the game. So this video game, when it's just the game, when it's just in its case, the game sells for $60, right? If you have the game sealed, it sells for $170. So you can see that we're slowly building it up based on all these different layers. If we have the game, it's sealed, and it's a promotional only copy, we jump to $225. So we've gone from finding the game by itself being worth $60, then we touch all the little games and we like spread our germs and find that it's sealed, we jump up to $170, then we pull it out and we see the banner across it saying that it's a promotional only copy, then we're jumping up even higher to $220. These games to a thrift store employee are usually seen as just the same thing. They see like this game, this price, whatever, $5. $5 each is what I paid for them. I feel like it's a bit of an overpay, but at the same time, somebody's gonna buy these games off me because they're a bit rarer to find just because the Xbox 360 console is a bit older. So I listed them up for, I think, about $65 each. No, $69.95. So that's going to be $140, the total between the two of them. And I paid $10. So 10 into 140, that sort of satisfies my $100 minimum type thing. Yeah, so I always recommend going in and spreading your germs on these video games so you can get the stuff that's sealed. They don't differentiate unless they listen to this podcast. Maybe one will, but your local probably won't. go find those sealed video games and look for those promo only banners. And finally, in Lifeline, the last thing I found was on a lower shelf. It was these two, what looked to be VHS. Okay. I saw them. I was like, oh, these are VHS. I could sort of see reflective plastic on them because they were the only two things on the shelf. And I was like, oh, are these, you know, sealed VHS? Because I collect sealed VHS. I have a few sealed VHS. I have a few graded sealed VHS. I know it sounds ridiculous. People like them for, I don't even know why I really like them. Maybe nostalgia. Yeah, people grade VHS. People spend money on the weirdest things, man. I thought that was sealed VHS. I could see the two titles. They were Labyrinth and they were Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I haven't seen any of these movies. These are considered to be classics. I haven't seen any of them. But they were in like sort of tatty looking cases. There was the plastic on it, like I said. And I was like, oh shit, like, am I about to find sealed VHS? Like, hell yeah, today's my day. I've already got the gargoyles and the video games. Like, can we round it out with VHS? So I bent down, broke my back, found the shelf. The shelf was right there. I looked on the shelf and they weren't sealed VHS. They were sealed. They had plastic on them, but they were Blu-ray movies inside of VHS-like packaging. So it's sort of like, it's like catfishing, right? Like, I bent down for that. But yeah, they were Blu-ray inside of VHS, and apparently, back in 2017, a electronics store here in Australia called JB Hi-Fi ran a promotion, and the promotion was called, it was a limited edition run of what they call classic films on Blu-ray, but they're packed in VHS packaging, and they're all part of this Rewind collection. I didn't hear about it, like, I don't know what I was doing in 2017, but they were... Yeah, they created these limited edition movies in VHS packaging, and they limited each title to 1,000 copies. So of the Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Day Out, there was 1,000 of them made. Of Labyrinth, there was 1,000 of them made. They'll spread out throughout the JB Hi-Fi stores, I guess. I don't really know how it worked. Sounds very Willy Wonkery to be doing that. But yeah, they did that. And, you know, now it's 2017. Now it's 2025. These came out in 2017. And I guess people still remember them considering it's been 8 years later. And yeah, they're sort of still around. There's only a couple of them on eBay and a few that have sold here and there. So I thought they were cool. I didn't know about them when I was in the store. So when I saw like $3 on each of them, you know, I was definitely going to buy them. If they were just regular Blu-ray, I think those movies would sell for like $10, $15. Like, I don't really know because I don't buy Blu-ray. I'm pretty sure the market on eBay would be quite low. From what I've seen and heard about Blu-ray in terms of reselling, the best things to look out for are like the C on Blu-ray packaging, which stands for like Criterion Collection, something like that. And I think those are the better ones, but every time I've gone to a thrift store, I've never been able to find those sort of ones. I've always found, you know, generic titles, and they're not Criterion. But yeah, don't hold me to that either. I don't really know if that's the case. I haven't looked into it enough because I don't really want to be buying Blu-ray. Yeah, I got these because they were $3 each. I decided to list them up on eBay for what I usually list my sealed VHS for. When I say sealed VHS, I mean just the tape inside of the case is sealed, and that's $49.95. So I put them up for $50 each, and I figure $3 into $49.95, $350. That's going to be a good return. It doesn't satisfy my... I mean, it does satisfy my $100 minimum if we put them together, but I just thought they were really cool, and that's the main reason that I picked them up. I mean, I say they're really cool. It's cool compared to some of the other shit inside of a thrift store, but I mean, I wouldn't keep them for myself. So they're not, I don't think they're that cool, but yeah. They come in like these pre-worn, slightly faded VHS looking cases, but I don't think they look anywhere near as good as a regular VHS case, and inside there's no tape deck or anything. I looked on a couple of videos, and inside of these cases, there's like the Blu-ray disc, and they also come with a collector card or collector cards and what they call limited edition t-shirt transfers. So if you think that's cool, each to their own, but yeah, these were $3, listed them for $50, and we'll see how they go. Do you ever have those days when you're in the thrift and you're just hitting up one after the other and you're getting nowhere, and you have those thoughts in your head like, what is the point? I have them all the time. I talk about them all the time. You just have to realize that it only takes one to have a successful day. And this was one of those days where I was getting nothing. I was finding nothing. Nothing that satisfied me. You know, I find items that I'm like, okay, I could buy this for $5. It would sell for 20, 25, but I just don't want it. I don't want to do that. So I was hitting up a couple, and then I decided to hit up an independent, which is sort of few and far between where I am. You know, there's mostly Salvos, mostly Vinnies, Lifeline. That's about it. I could travel a tiny bit further to find more independents. You know, I've done the every Knopf's op shop within New South Wales trip before. I've written about that at flipweekly.com, and I found some cool stuff, but that's sort of a drive for me. However, one of them isn't, and this Knopf's op shop I've had some good luck with before. They price things quite low, and the items I've been able to get from there before have been like high quality, you know, like Sony stuff, things like that. Their clothes are also well priced. I've never bought anything from there for myself. Everything I've bought there has been to resell, but I mean, Knopf's is a good op shop within Australia. From what I've seen, they don't write on their products like other thrift stores do. They have tags and they have price stickers, which is cool. But yeah, like I said, this was a really shit day. Couldn't find anything. And then I went in here. Again, couldn't really find much just to begin with. And so I was flicking through the clothes. It's usually my last resort, trying to find something decent in the clothing racks, because I think, you know, I'm that kid at Christmas that, you know, oh, cool, you got me some clothes, you know, and whatever. But I found these two jerseys. Seeing these jerseys, I instantly knew that they were going to be worth a bit of money just based on the old school logos. I've talked so much about recognizing logos. You need to go back through Flip Weekly to see exactly what I say, because I don't want to repeat myself. But yeah, seeing these, I instantly knew that like this is a payday right here. Both jerseys were marked at $5 each, and they were NRL jerseys. NRL is a sport within Australia. It's rugby league. It's better than AFL. And yeah, these were jerseys from before 2010. So they're quite old. As you can imagine, when it comes to anything clothing-wise, really, the older it is, the more valuable it is. There are exceptions to the rule, of course. But when it comes to jerseys, you know, I'd love to find like a 1980s jersey as opposed to like a 2025 jersey. But yeah, these were from 2009 and 2001. So they're all blue. They have the Cronulla Sharks logo on them, which is a team from, you guessed it, Cronulla. And yeah, they play in the NRL. They're a shit team. And I looked them up once I got home. I didn't look them up in the store because I knew that jerseys for $5 each are going to be worth some money. The one from 2009 is sort of valuable. It's wanted by people. It's sought after. It's worth around $100. No complaining there. I'm just saying 5 into 100, good, yes. But when it comes to this other one from 2001, this thing, there's like no sold comps for it except for a youth's jersey. And when it comes to youth jerseys, I mean, they're kids. Their kids don't have any money for themselves. Parents are buying their jerseys. The jerseys are always less expensive. You know, if you're getting a jersey for a kid of like a basketball team, it's going to be like, I don't know, like $50 as opposed to like $200 if you buy your own. So youths are always a smaller percentage of what an adult is. And I could see that there was a youth sold jersey of this for, I think it was about $100. So that was a good sign to me. And then I looked up on Google, because eBay wasn't giving me much, just to see if there was anything out there that I can use as a comparison. And there was two websites. There was one that was from 2021, and the person was asking for this exact jersey, $200. That was a good indicator that this was going to be a payday. And then I found another website from some independent website that sold jerseys, and it was £89. I had to do the conversion from £89 to Aussie dollars, and it was about $180. And I was able to look in the code of the website to see what date the webpage was published on, and it was 2023. So both of those are from like years gone by, you know, like 2021 and 2023, without any other sold comps in the past 90 days, without any other active listings. That's really all I had to go on. So I had to go on $180 and $200 from years ago. So I'm thinking, you know, more time's gone by. This thing is probably even rarer. What should I ask for it? I just thought, like, you know, I could just ask for $300. I think that if it sold for $200 in the past on Marketplace and it sold for $180 on an independent website, like, getting traffic to an independent website is so much harder than getting traffic to eBay or to Marketplace. If it's sold on both, there is no reason why I can't put this up for $300 on eBay and expect to get paid. I legit think this will sell on eBay for $300. And I can tell you right now, it hasn't sold. However, there are multiple people watching. I think there's like 5 people watching. It's had a ton of views. I have this guy on Marketplace that keeps sending me messages being like, hey, I'm interested in this. And I was like, okay, great, it's $200. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, a couple of days later, just letting you know, I'm like really keen on this. So I'm like, yeah, dude, I haven't changed my mind. And then probably about 30 minutes ago, let me get this message up for you. Yeah, this message says, so it was an hour ago, felt like just a minute ago because it's still playing on my mind. The guy goes, still eyeing off this beauty with a smiley face. Like, what the fuck kind of message is that? Still eyeing this off. This is like what I expect like hot chicks to get on Instagram. Just still. And then he just asked me again what price I'm looking at. I'm like, dude, I'm not going any lower. I've had this up for like a week, probably not even a week. I'm not dropping the price already. And I'm like, lowest I'll go is so-and-so, otherwise I'll just keep it on eBay. And you know, the guy was nice. It was like, all good, thanks for letting me know. But yeah, the way this way he was messaging me, I was like, you don't have to tell me that you're still eyeing off this jersey. You can just look at it without telling me, like, hey, I'm checking you out. Like, I'm it's just weird. So yeah, on those really shit days where you're finding nothing, just know that it only takes like one item in a thrift store to like hit a home run for the day. Like, I could have picked up one or two things from one of the places earlier and, you know, sell for 50, sell for like another 50, make $100. And then you just walk into one of these like independents, pay $10 for 2 jerseys, and then you have $400 worth of inventory. Like, I just know that these jerseys are going to sell too, because jersey collectors are nuts. I need to ask them, really, are you trying to collect every single jersey? Because if you are, it's literally impossible, right? Like, it's like trying to collect all of the money in the world. You know, it's just not going to happen. Anyway, let's move away from clothes for a second for something that you'd be more excited about to open in a Christmas present. So we go back to Lifeline. Stuffed in a little cabinet, in a hole in the wall, were a whole bunch of Dungeons and Dragons merchandise. I'm not talking about merchandise that you can find in a store. This was merchandise that was given out exclusively on the opening night of the movie. So we had 3 different items. Just to give you some context as to what this movie is about, it came out in 2023. If you haven't seen it yet, it's actually highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb. It was directed by John Francis Daly. I've known John Francis Daly, not personally, from his acting career. He was in Freaks and Geeks when he was much, much younger, in the late 90s. That was one of my favorite television shows, so I've been able to follow his career ever since then. So I was somewhat familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, the movie. I haven't seen it myself. That sort of genre doesn't really interest me. Neither does the game. I've never played Dungeons and Dragons before. I have friends that have played it. They seem to enjoy it. I've seen some YouTube videos of people playing it, you know, Arnie Donner have a YouTube show, I guess, called Trope RPG. If you're into Dungeons and Dragons, check out Trope RPG on YouTube. It's YouTube D&D, I think. But yeah, we have a whole bunch of Dungeons and Dragons swag. If you were there on the opening night premiere, you got given some of these items. I didn't know really that they were valuable, because what I found were a laser engraved stein, basically like a steel mug. The other thing was a leather satchel. The third item was a beanie. Neither of these scream valuable to me. I'm looking at a laser engraved stein. It looks like, you know, $5. But because it was connected to this singular event, the opening night of Dungeons and Dragons, it has value. So you're honestly not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it in the same way. I still don't believe it, and I think it was an anomaly. However, this stein with the Dungeons and Dragons logo in it has a sold comp. Before I tell you the sold comp, it's just a stein. It's just a, like a steel stein with the logo. That's it. Okay? It has a sold comp for $262 from the 24th of January. So not even that long ago. There's no other sold listings for this. There are active listings, maybe one or two, if that. Actually, I don't even think there's one or two. I think there's one. So I'm a bit wary about that comp. However, if you type into eBay Dungeons and Dragons promo or Dungeons and Dragons movie promo, there's maybe like 40 listings, and all of the stuff is watched and priced quite high. So we have that comp for the stein. We move on to the leather satchel. Picture Indiana Jones's satchel. It's basically that with the Dungeons and Dragons logo. It was brand new. It is in great shape. It has a tag on it. Inside of the bag was the shoulder strap, which has never been used. It looks pretty cool. Like it looks like a nice leather satchel. Probably the one that looks like it's worth the most money. It has sold comps on eBay, multiple sold comps, for around the $77 mark. I think it should be worth more than that, maybe like around the $100 mark, just because there aren't that many of them. I think you could sit on it for a while and somebody will come and buy it. The third was the beanie. The beanie is the one that would be the least valuable. It is a red Dungeons and Dragons beanie, still in its original plastic. It's just a pure black logo embroidered onto the beanie. We're not talking about, you know, illustrations, nothing. It's not like an all-over print t-shirt. It's not like an all-over print beanie. It's just the logo on the brim of the beanie. It looks well made. I can't feel it because it's within the plastic, but I can feel the weight, and it feels like a decent quality beanie. That has no sold comps, but it has active listings for around the $45 mark with multiple people watching. That's what I have to say about all these listings, that they're all watched by multiple people. For example, the satchel, there's one there for $120. I think it's one of the only ones, and it has 10 people watching. That's in the United States. So I think that these will be bought from people that are fans of either the movie or the tabletop game. It is a category that's been around for a while, or a topic, I guess, that's been around for a while. A lot of people like D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. The movie was well received. It has fans. It did poorly at the box office because it looked, I mean, I like going to the movies. I enjoy watching movies. To me, it didn't appeal to me. It looked sort of, you know, if you like sci-fi mixed with a bit of like fantasy mixed with, it sort of looked a bit campy too. That might have kept people away. But I think the movie will have it like that lasting legacy just because it was well received. And also, I don't think they're making another one. Paramount was the distributional company that had something to do with it, and I read the other day that they weren't going ahead with a sequel or a spin-off TV show, I think they were going to do. So yeah, we have those three items. all given to somebody on the opening night of Dungeons and Dragons, and for whatever reason, they've decided to not open them, not use them, and donate them to Lifeline. And Lifeline has put all three up for $25. So they had a price tag on it saying something like all set of three for $25. And of course, when I get to the cash register, they're questioning why each item has like a $25 sticker on it. They're ignoring the set of three price tag that literally says set of three. They're adding up like 25, 50, 75, and I had to get the person that originally wrote the price tag to be like, no, it's the set of three. So I'm thinking when I bought this that these three items together should be able to sell for more than $25. The satchel alone, I think, is a nice piece that even if it wasn't Dungeons and Dragons, it should sell for a bit more money. It's a brand new leather satchel. I've never bought one before in my life, but I think they're worth more than $25. So I get home, I do all the comps, and I decide to list it as a bundle. I think that finding a buyer for one of these items might take a bit of time. So if I can list them all together as a bundle, finding that buyer will get them all out the door faster and I'll be able to ask for more money. I don't want to list up just an individual beanie for $45. I don't want to list up the mug especially for $250 just because I don't think it's worth that. I think somebody had paid it in the past. I don't really think someone will pay it again. I listed it all up on eBay for $249.95. Is it a fair price? It's going to get views. Nobody on eBay has the lot. Everybody has one or two, no, not even two pieces. Everyone has like one piece in the listing. There's no bulk listing. So I think, yeah, I should be able to get at least $250 from this on eBay. I've put it on Marketplace for $200. And of course, if it sells, you'll be the first to hear about it on the podcast or the newsletter. I was excited to find something so unique and something that is a bit exciting. You know, it beats finding a DVD. It beats finding a t-shirt. One part of it is a piece of clothing, a beanie, but I mean, now that I think about it, when you break it down, it's a hat, a bag, and a mug. So yeah, not that exciting, but when you put it all together with the opening night, a Hollywood movie, it has that sort of glitz and glam about it. I was actually thinking that I have a feeling I know how this ended up in the Lifeline thrift store. I think that influencers get given access to these movie premieres and they get given all these bags of swag and they're not necessarily into the event. They want to get their picture taken, they want to dress up for it, which is fine, that's cool. Yeah, the Instagram models aren't necessarily into Dungeons and Dragons, so it ends up in a Lifeline for me to buy and resell, which I am extremely happy for, and that is the reason why we have Instagram influencers. Let's go through what is sold this week. We have a lot of sales to get through. Let's get straight into it. Number one is something I'm glad to get rid of, something that I picked up last week in a thrift store for $10. I don't like having these things in my house. They creep me the fuck out. This is a Big Mouth Billy Bass. It's sold on Marketplace for $80. These things go crazy on both eBay and Marketplace. So many people are buying these things. If you listen to the podcast last week, if you read the newsletter, you'll hear all about these fish. They sit on the wall, they sing. I was questioned by the buyer why it doesn't turn to face the person. He was like, why does it just stay staring straight ahead? Why does it not turn its body? And in my mind, I'm thinking like, it's a fish, bro. Like I don't know if a fish can move like that. He was still happy to buy it. He was just, yeah, really interested in the fish moving, like moving its body in a way that a fish shouldn't. So yeah, it sold for $80, and these things, they're so popular. I don't understand why. They might look cool in a bar area or in a man cave, and they're always seemingly worth at least $100. I could have got $130 for it on eBay, but when I list on Marketplace, I always reduce the amount I'm looking for. I get so crazy that I sometimes put up items on eBay and they sell for, you know, like $200, but it won't have any interest at all on Marketplace for like $50. Like the two platforms are so different. The buyers are so different too. I think people on Marketplace are looking for more of a deal, whereas on eBay, they know that they're going to have to pay almost like retail prices, right? Or saying that it must be the headspace that they're in. You're on eBay to buy things, whereas on Marketplace, you're technically on Facebook and you're there to post hateful comments on news articles. So I think that's why things sell differently on both platforms. But either way, I'm happy to have that fish out the door. Person can take it to the river. The thing sings, it's annoying. I'm just glad that it's out of the house. The next sale was something that I bought this week. It was the Blu-ray VHS combination. The two mashed together to create these limited edition collectibles from, what was it, 2017? I can't remember. It was Ferris Bueller and Labyrinth. So they both sold in less than a week. They sold, I think Ferris Bueller sold in like 2 days and Labyrinth sold a couple of days later. The funny thing is, like, they're not that rare on eBay. There was maybe 100 or a couple more than that. And the sold listings weren't looking that glamorous either. So I was very surprised that these sold so quickly. I think it was because I only had them up for $49.95, including postage. I'm glad that they both sold overseas because I was able to keep that extra $10 that I would pay in post, and they're both off to America. No, one's off to America, one's off to Canada. Obviously two different buyers. And, you know, I just started to think, did I list them too cheaply? $49.95 is what I usually list sealed VHS for. And if they're selling for that price in less than a week, might have been underpriced. Maybe I should have went for $99.95. But yeah, the comps just weren't telling me that's what I should be doing. And maybe I should have trusted, I was going to say trust my gut, but my gut was telling me they're worthless too. So I don't know. Maybe in the future I should look up similar Blu-rays, not the part of this collection. I don't know if Ferris Bueller on Blu-ray sells for a lot of money. Maybe that's why. Maybe these two movies sell for more on Blu-ray. It's a very amateur mistake that I did. I didn't check the comps for just the plain Blu-ray, fully sealed too. So my mistake, but either way, like, bro, I paid $3 each for these. I paid $6 total, and that turned into $97.40 in less than like 7 days. So you can't complain about that. They were cool to find. I was happy to have them. I'm glad to see them go. I'm glad to see when all these things sell. I've noticed that a lot of my sales recently have been, not recently, a lot of my sales are international sales, and they sort of get annoying because you have to fill out the customs form. It takes maybe like an extra 2 minutes, but it's still a pain in the ass. It's because I want to do as less work as possible. And seeing an international order come in, it's like, great. It means that my item is that unique, I guess, that somebody overseas is willing to pay more money to receive it. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, now I have to fill out the customs form. I have to like spend more money sending it to a foreign country. And then always in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, fuck, I hope I measured these dimensions correctly. And I hope I weighed this properly too, because sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't want to get burned by international postage being off. And that's happened before in the past. I'm a bit better at it now, but it always creeps in the back of my mind. You know, like, when you're leaving the house, you always think, like, did I leave my keys inside? At least I do every single time. And for these orders, I'm thinking, did I measure the box that I was going to put it in correctly? Did I weigh it properly? Yeah, I hope to God that I did, because I don't want to be paying any more and losing money on an order. But look, when you're finding good quality items out in a thrift store and you're making sales internationally, I think that is, look, we don't get a lot of pat on the backs on this in this sort of industry. You know, we're making money buying things from garage sales and thrift stores. It's not something where somebody will say to you, good job. You know, you won't get that. But I think when you get an international order, I think that is like a little pat on the back. It's somebody paying extra to get something that you have, and it could go to an Australian, but it goes overseas. So I think that's really cool. And to me, it sort of says that, Matt, you're getting good items. So I think, yeah, if you're not getting any sort of pat on the back from anyone in your life, just know that when those international orders come in, it's a bit of a pat on the back. The next item that I sold is something that I've talked about before that you need to keep an eye out for, and is a big box PC game. It is the old game Civilization. It was picked up for, I mean, how much was it? It was like $8, and it sold for, I think it sold for $70. I've included in the newsletter a screenshot saying $99.95, but off memory, I accepted a best offer for this of $70, and that is that going overseas? I can't remember. No, actually, it was a local order. It was going somewhere locally. So that was a part of a collection that I bought in a thrift store in the puzzle section. They had two of these really old games. The boxes look like they're puzzles. They don't look like video games, because if they looked like video games, the thrift store would keep them in the back, or they'll take out all the contents and put out just the box. So you need to be looking in those sort of areas for these big box games. And if you see like ratings, you know, when you're buying media and it says like G, PG, MA, R, whatever, all of these games have ratings on them because it's media. And they also have Windows logos on them, you know, the old Windows logo. They're signs that this is a computer game, this is a video game. And if you get the right one, man, you're in for a payday. Like this game that I found, Civilization, sold for, like I said, $70. And I bought that in the bundle with another game called SimCity. And SimCity was, not sure, a very, very popular game. Back in the 90s, I think. I remember playing it in school. And it's like a game where you control a city. It stands for Simulation City. So you're running a city. You decide what buildings to put where, you decide how infrastructure works. You also play God in a way. You can create tornadoes, cyclones, floods, famine, I think. I can't really remember. I mean, I did them all, of course, but I don't remember what all of them were. It was a fun game to play. I think the game even had a floppy disk. It was that old. I don't know if it worked. I included that in the listing. These old games, you have to realize, they're not really bought to play. They're more bought to display. The big box is what people want, because if you wanted to play SimCity, you get it in a like a CD jewel case for like $5 on eBay. What they want is the big box. The big box is the collector's item. It displays really well because it usually has nice artwork on it, and people put them on shelves. They have big box PC collections, and that's what you want to buy. And in most cases, they're sold as puzzles, and puzzles are priced low because everyone fucking hates them. So that's what you need to look out for. I also think they're prime to finding garage sales. Just think of not an estate sale, but somebody clearing out their house, an older person, and they just have a box of these old games. And, you know, the mindset would be, this is so old. It's old technology. It doesn't work in 2025. So they're getting rid of them. People would think that, you know, nobody has a floppy disk drive anymore. So why would anyone pay money for them? You know, the irony, you'd find the big box games in a big box of games. All right. So yeah, add it to your list. If you don't know what they are, just Google, jump onto eBay, type in big box PC game, look at sold comps. You'll be able to see some selling for hundreds of dollars, you know, popular titles, Duke Nukem, things like that. The next item is something that I didn't get a chance to talk about in the podcast or on Flip Weekly. It was something that I found in a thrift store for $10. What they were a pair of headphones, okay? They had a brand on them. The brand was Skull Candy. And they also had the Lakers logo and the number 24. So I saw these sitting on a shelf. I saw the $10 price tag. I decided to take a look at them. I thought, you know, I didn't know that the Lakers, an NBA basketball team, if you're unfamiliar, made headphones. I took them out of the pouch and I could see a Kobe Bryant patch. Kobe Bryant was one of the most famous Los Angeles Lakers players in the world. He's now sadly passed. I thought, wow, a pair of headphones in a thrift store for $10 with NBA basketball insignia on it. Why is this so cheap? Obviously, I am a glass half empty person when it comes to thrift stores, and I thought, well, these obviously don't work. Like, these are probably just junk right now in terms of the tech turning on. Even they had the old school 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. If you have a brand new iPhone now, it won't plug in. You can get converters for it. I thought, dude, even as a collector's item, this should be worth more than $10, even if it doesn't work, because, you know, they look cool. People chuck them on a shelf. If you're a Kobe fan and you don't have these, you're going to want them. So I checked out comps. I checked out sold comps first. There was one for $45. My first initial thought was, that seems awfully low for a pair of headphones. I could tell they were old based on the headphone jack. They don't really make... I mean, do they make 3.5mm headphone jacks anymore? I don't know. You have to ask somebody that's interested in audio a bit more than me. But yeah, they had that one comp for $45. I checked active listings and there was a couple. There was like five or six. People were saying they were rare. And I mean, if there was only six listings, there must be rare, you know? Like, I did a bit more research and I found out when they were made, 2020, no, when were these made? They were made in 2010. It was a collaboration between Kobe Bryant, the NBA, and Skull Candy. I've never heard of that brand before. If you're familiar with it, if you're a bit more, if you keep up to date with that sort of stuff, you might be like, well, obviously, Matt, these are worth money. But yeah, there was that one sold comp. I checked out the active listings and there was a couple. There was a pair that were the exact same as mine and they were $220 with five people watching. I thought, wow, okay, this is a bit more encouraging than a $45 listing. There was also another pair that were $70 and they had 14 people watching. So, you know, they were sort of like a bit all over the place in terms of what people wanted to pay. There was lots of people watching these items. So I decided to just split the difference. I listed mine up for $100. I hit that $100 mark, 10 into 100. And yeah, they ended up selling 17 days later. And again, they're off overseas. So that's my pat on the back for the week. And I think anything that stops you in your tracks as you're leaving the thrift store is worthy of looking up and probably buying, because in this case, it's turned $10 into $100. I'll leave it there for sales this week. There are more. If you want to check them out, go to flipweekly.com, subscribe to the newsletter. You'll be able to see all of the sales, be able to see pictures, sales, price, and a bit more information. But yeah, that's it for sales this week. We're going to do the reads now. Last week we had some hate mail. We don't have any this week. We have the first viewer question, I guess, from Sarah. Sarah says, I love the newsletter and I'm excited for the podcast. Quick question, how do you deal with people undervaluing their own stuff at garage sales? I sometimes feel guilty when I buy something super cheap knowing it's worth way more. Do you ever explain, or is it just part of the game? Okay, that's a good question, valid question. I think when I go to a garage sale and I see something that is cheap, you know, if it says $5 and I know that it's worth 50, 100, I don't feel bad. This person is pricing it based on what they would be happy to accept it for. I'm not bargaining down to $5. It's what this person actually wants. So I don't think there's any reason to feel guilty for that. You could tell them that it's worth 50 or 100, but then, you know, what's the point? You're not going to be making any money then. The person is none the wiser. They're obviously happy to just get, you know, like $5 for it. So I think in that situation, everyone's happy there. You're holding a garage sale for a few reasons. You're either like moving house, you're trying to declutter, or you're trying to make some money. And for any one of those reasons, people would be happy to get what they list an item for. So yeah, I think that there's no reason to feel guilty. It is just, I guess, part of the game. That's really all it is. I don't think that I've ever walked away feeling guilty about buying something cheap, knowing that I can flip it for more money. You know, half the time when we're doing this, we're also putting more effort into the sale. So when you get something at a garage sale, half the time it's, say, if it's a piece of, you know, if it's electronics, they don't know if it works. It might be missing pieces, missing parts, I mean, dusty, dirty. So most of the time we have to add some sort of value to that anyway. So we bring it back, we clean it, we do whatever we want to do, and then we sell it for the full amount that we can get for it. So that's it. I think that you shouldn't feel guilty at all. This next one comes from somebody who didn't include their name, but they write, hey Matt, I've been flipping for a while but always struggle with timing. Do you ever hold on to items for months or even years waiting for the right buyer, or do you prefer a quick flip even if it means making less profit? We'd love to hear your strategy. Okay, all the items that I buy I try and get them out the door as soon as possible. I'm looking at sell-through rates when I'm buying at a thrift store. There's calculators online on flipweekly.com you can use to work out an item's sell-through rate. I've just updated the page too, so you can read examples, see examples of what sell-through rate actually means. You can work out whether an item is going to sell in 3 months, a month, a week, a year, and base your purchases off that. I am holding on to items, though, from probably when I first started, because I had no idea what I was doing. I wasn't checking sell-through rates. I was just buying anything that I thought people would want. It would still be in one of my storage containers. I do need to go through and donate or throw out or do something with some of these items. You know, I've got some really embarrassing items in there that I don't really want to talk about. But in this week's newsletter, something sold, and I decided to include it in the newsletter just to show you that I wasn't picking up, you know, $100 items when I was first starting. I was buying, you know, I'll just tell you what it was. It was a Austin Powers DVD that sold for like, I think it was like $20. I can't remember exactly what I paid for it, but yeah, it was just a DVD of the movies, I guess. I am a bit embarrassed about that, you know, because if I went out to a thrift store and I was buying items like this, like an Austin Powers DVD, you know, I'd walk out with half the store, because there's just so many DVDs in thrift stores that are similar to Austin Powers. You know, you're going to pick up Bruce Almighty, you're going to pick up all these like Couples Retreat type of movies, as then you're going to have a lot of leftover movies. I mean, they're not going to sell. I think, let me check this sell through rate calculator real quick, because I wrote this article the other day for the page, and I used Bruce Almighty as an example of an item that has a horrible sell-through rate. I wanted to give an example, yeah, as to like something you definitely shouldn't pick up. I have to apologize for the scrolling any keyboard noises you can hear, but yeah, I provide an example of Bruce Almighty being a horrible movie to pick up. There's 1700 listings on eBay for Bruce Almighty DVD, so 1700. They sell for about $6, and that includes free postage. So the logistics of making money from that, your profit margin has to be so slim. Like, you'd be working on like volume, like massive volume. You must be shipping out thousands of DVDs a day in order to do this, in order to have a successful business, because what's the cost of shipping like a DVD in the mail these days? Like, is close to $6.25, $6.99. But yeah, there's 1700 Bruce Almighty DVDs on eBay right now, and of the sold listings, there's only 73 sold. So 73, which means that the sell-through rate there is 4.29%. So those are literally just horrible, horrible, horrible numbers. I extrapolated the data to work out how long it would take, you know, an average listing of Bruce Almighty to sell. It worked out to about like close to 6 years. It was like 5.8 years. Yes, I do have items. I mean, I'm outing myself here of picking horrible shit, but I probably do have items here that I've held on to for a year. But I would guess that maybe you know, almost towards the beginning of starting Flip Weekly, like a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, but no, this isn't issue 54 of the newsletter. We're getting close to it. 54. How many weeks in a year? 52. 52 weeks in a year. Maybe we've passed it. Yeah, I don't know. I've gone through life questioning that, questioning the amount of time of weeks in a year. Yeah, what was I saying? That yes, I do have items that have been sitting, but not lately. You know, everything I buy now is selling pretty much like same week. So back to the question, do I hold on to them for months or even years waiting for the right buyer? I do that for some items. I think, you know, now that I'm thinking about it a bit more, you know, the Sony portable Discman that I bought, which was brand new and sealed. I picked that up on Marketplace for, I think it was $250, and I listed it on eBay for $1,000, so it would be a $750 profit. I listed it that high because I think someone will eventually pay it, but in the meantime, I'm really happy keeping it. The reason I'm happy keeping it is because I collect, or sort of collect, sealed portable media. I have a soft spot for, you know, MP3 players and things like that. It was one of the first products I ever imported back in the day. But yeah, I am happy keeping that for a long period of time because I have it on display. It'll be a sad day when it eventually sells, but it'll be bittersweet because I'd be making a ton of profit. So I'm happy to wait for the right buyer for that, but I wouldn't be waiting for the right buyer for something that's taking up a lot of room. You know, I don't want to be sitting on a huge item that just is like, you know, in a spare bedroom or something, or like you have to look at it every single day just being in the way. Yeah, I don't do that. But yeah, the other part of the question, do you prefer a quick flip even if it means making less profit? I mean, yeah, it really depends on the item. I like, you know, a quick flip means that you're making money quickly. I like going out to a thrift store and listing an item and having somebody want to buy it that exact same day. It pays for all the purchases I made throughout the day. It pays for, I mean, I'm probably picking up lunch while I'm out. I'm probably spending money on things that I shouldn't be. Having that instant profit, you know, you can't go wrong there. So I guess it really depends on the item. I would just say to you that hold on to items for months or even years if it's something that isn't in the way, if you're going to make big money from it, from holding on to it. But if you're going to make like a dollar from a Bruce Almighty DVD, I would say, yeah, you don't want to be waiting for the right buyer for a Bruce Almighty DVD. You know, 5.8 years for somebody to buy a Bruce Almighty. I just couldn't imagine doing that. Maybe I should, you know what? Maybe I should buy a Bruce Almighty DVD, list it on eBay, and see how long it takes to sell just for shits and gigs. You know, I think I might actually do that. If I can get it cheap enough, if I can get it for, I think the cheapest you'd be able to get it in a thrift store would be like maybe a dollar, or if they have like a 2-for-1, maybe 50 cents. But even then, like the margins are so small that I don't think I'd be able to even make any money from it. But it could be a good bit of content in like 6 years' time when I can say that Bruce Almighty finally sold. So, you know, remind me on social media to do this, and I'll be sure to pick it up next time I'm in the thrift store. And that is the podcast for this week. Thank you again for listening. If you want to learn more, you can jump on over to flipweekly.com and subscribe to the newsletter. You can see all of this in text form with photos. You can also visit us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Instagram and YouTube, you'll be able to see reels and shorts of I'm starting to do a tiny bit of video content. They're just short snippets of items that I find in thrift stores if you want a more visual medium. I also have a competition going on Instagram, instagram.com/flipweekly. You can win some gift cards. All you have to do is interact with the post. It's very easy. The winner will be announced sometime soon. I did say originally the 30th of February. That date doesn't exist. I know, I'm an idiot. But yeah, jump on over. Thank you again. Rate, review, like, share, comment. And I'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening. Yeah. I was about to say thanks for watching. I hope you're not watching. Thank you for reading. No, not reading. Thank you for listening.